Okay, before you go on, do you mind?
Yeah.
Do you mind if Kim asks her response? Go ahead, Kim.
Look on the ED report, Kamau. Sort of incorporated there.
Okay.
Yeah, there have been a lot of requests at our local finance committee for the agent payables, and I would also, you know, it would be helpful for me to get it.
Yeah, we stopped releasing them publicly about a year or so ago when it went places it shouldn't have. So.
All right. It would also be helpful to have a cash flow document because, again, the income side is not as regular as it looks in this budget, obviously. So it's helpful to see, you know, some months we have more income and some gets carried over to the next month. But, the stress of this year has been looking at payroll and not being able to make, not being sure we can make it, and looking at the SEE bill and not being sure we can make it. So, we've had to scramble and add a couple of days to the fund drives a couple of times or make special appeals to try to make sure that there's enough money in the till when it's needed. And I'm hopeful that the plans to increase the membership and, bring in the additional revenue stream of this other underwriting from small businesses and community organizations will produce enough additional revenue that will stop being such a serious problem. But it is very stressful.
Right. My other point, just to help the other committee members out, I did a quick compare. So it's about 10.6 in additional consultant and temps. Yes, that 25K for professional legal, another 31K looks like on another line called legal settlement, 9K additional in repairs, and looks like the programming services got bumped up 5,000. So that's roughly 80K or so. There's some small numbers back and forth, but those are the larger ones if members want to take a look at those line items. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you, Kamau. Okay, that brings up myself. So I have kind of a general question, but it's got like subparts. Let me just start with, you're talking about increasing the membership and you're talking about when a person becomes a member, they tend to donate a lot more. We know people are donating sometimes $100 or more for some premium or some making a donation, and that includes their membership fee, but they're paying quite a bit more than that. So what is your opinion about increasing the membership fee? Would that be useful or would that really not help?
I think that it would probably not help. I think that, you want to get people in the door. Once they're in, then they, you sort of upsell them. When we look at the results, let me see if I can bring it up. Hang on a second. I can look at the current fund drive in a second here. So let me just refresh this in a second. Roughly speaking, about half of the money that comes in during the drive. Hang on a second, it just refreshed. Okay, so about $73,000 raised so far. Close to $40,000 of that is additional donations from people who are already members. Close to 8,000 is new members. 7,400 is people whose membership is about to expire and they renew timely during a fund drive. And 18,000 is people who were lapsed donors and have, having let the membership lapse during the course of this drive, have now renewed it. So slightly more than half of the revenue during the drive is additional donations from people who are already either members or even sustainers, and they're giving more during the drive because of the drive. And the other half is either new or renewal members, either people renewing timely or people renewing who lapsed for a while and are coming back. And the ones who are in that last category are about double the number of new and renewals. And that's fairly typical in every drive. So we are winning people back, and we are getting some new members, but not enough new members. I think if we can increase the new membership, some of those will then roll over into the additional donation category. But the
Michael, you know, have an idea. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Do you have an idea of how many of your members are what I might call basic members at $25 minimum? I don't expect you to, but I'm just curious.
Not right in front of me. It's like in the course of this drive, we've gotten 670 donations so far. It's about 30 donors a day. That's also anemic, frankly. I mean, that's what we need to increase. We need to have more people listening and more people donating on a regular basis. So that's our goal, is to try to increase that. As Kim showed you the figures, is about $11,000 a month comes in from sustainers, and those are people, you know, they're all donating substantially more than the $25, and they're doing it every month. I think there's about maybe, I forget what number of people that represents, the 11,000, but it's, I'm sure the average donation, as I say, the average donation during the course of a drive is about 150. And over the course of the year, that's also what the review of the allegiance figures showed that I mentioned.
Yeah, I'll say, I know we don't want to chase people away, but I in connection with WBA, I looked into what a $25 donation in 1960 when WBI started was worth today, and it's $46 and change, I think.
Yeah.
So I'm just wondering if it would do more harm than good to, say, bump the membership rate up to $50.
Obviously, there's a lot of inflation. Costs have gone up to dollars worth less. But, I don't think that increasing the donation will increase the revenue substantially.
Right. It might chase people away who might donate more later. Kim, did I hear you trying to answer? Go ahead, Kim.
No, I have a question for Michael, because I'm not looking at that form, but about what percentage are also paying for premiums. You know, a lot of those donations are for premiums, and I'm not looking at that number right now, but it's, you know, at least half of the, you know, stuff, a reason for more than $25. And also, I'd have to go back to the June fund drive, where a lot of people that month, you know, donated just to vote. So that also is a factor.
Yeah, as I say, the $40,000, which is more than half of the current drive in additional, donations, a lot of that is for premiums, but they're, generally speaking, they're not costly premiums. There are some books that we are paying for, but predominantly it's, it's tickets, it's CDs, it's we asked all the programmers to try to come up with low cost and no cost.
No, but that's the incentive, Michael. That's the incentive.
Yeah. I understand that. And we have trained our listeners over many years to donate for premiums and not for the just the content. It's hard to change that.
Okay. Going back to my questions, Michael, this is something that I think, I don't want to put words in her mouth, but I think Kim was alluding to a little bit earlier, and if not, forgive me. But Do you have any, what I would maybe characterize as out of the box thinking about new kinds of programming or some different approaches to programming, maybe getting some comedy in the mix? I must admit, you know, it's only 24 hours in a day, and I spend most of my time trying to listen to WBI. I don't listen that much to KPFK, but what are we doing in terms of not just putting out more of the same old, and hoping to get a new result, but to develop new, fresh things?
Well, we have developed a lot of new programming in the course of the year. We have two new different labor shows, which, given what's going on in LA with labor, I think, you know, have struck a chord. There is a program called the Sexy Boomer Show, which is Phil Proctor and Ted Bonnet. Phil Proctor was part of the Firesign Theater, and it's, you know, has some comedy aspects. They interview comics and comedians.
I got to interject here, Michael. The Sexy Boomer Show is not exactly what I was thinking about. Fresh
right.
New take on things.
Yeah, but, okay. Because they're not actually boomers either. They're older than boomers. I'm a boomer, and I'm on the leading edge of the boomers, and they're older than me. We are, you know, trying to talk with Maggie LaPete, the music director, about bringing on some fresh, new music programming. There are some different DJs and hosts that are presenting packages to us. I think it might be effective. The late night music programming in general on KPFK raises nothing. Kim sent around one chart, and I sent out another recently. I could share it with you if you want. Looking at programs that have not raised any money whatsoever, and it's some of this nationally syndicated stuff that are not pitching for us, and you know, but also, as they say, a lot of the late night music shows, they may have an audience, but the audience is not supporting the station whatsoever. So I think that's one place to make some changes.
Just to follow up on that, we understand that Roy of Hollywood was the only producer to make money in the overnights in Pacifica. Are we following his lineup more or less, or his methodology?
There's a lot of grievance there. I think people wanted, you know, somebody to inherit that show from him, and we couldn't do it. A good deal of the programming is identical to what he had, but the financial results are not the same. It's nowhere near.
Well, a lot of it has to do with a personality, you know, as well as anything else.
Yeah, I mean, he was on the air for 48 years, and you know, he had a certain, as you say, I mean, he was a figure. You know what I mean? He's pretty generous, and you know, the person that people wanted to take over the show, we had no capacity to pay. And so he's doing some of the same stuff on a low power FM station in Long Beach, and, you know, probably has taken some audience. I don't know.
Okay. Well, we don't want to get too much into individuals and personalities.
Okay.
My last area of questioning is underwriting. At WBAI, we were able to get a large increase in our revenue from public service announcements from the city government. I understand that the LA city government doesn't do that, but I heard you, you know, suggesting that you're working on some underwriting. Can you flesh that out a little bit for us? You know, for the benefit of anybody who's listening from other stations, how's that going?
Yeah. On the government front, there is some money available from individual city council members. That's kind of problematic in Los Angeles, given the level of scandal that's gone on with the city council. We did have somebody on as a guest on a show who's a staff member who said, well, and I have to follow up with him because he said he was going to send me this material and he didn't, but there are individual city departments do some of that. So we have to get very granular and find out which ones they are. The county has a lot more money, and you know, we're trying to get on their radar, and they have a whole thing with nonprofits, so some of that might come. The main underwriting we're talking about at this point, however, is not the PSAs, because that it's not available in the same way or as easily as in New York by any means. So it's mostly small businesses and community organizations with the idea that they would, for example, we used to have much more extensive, a big phone room and big on-air fund drives with, you know, 8 or 10 people answering calls constantly in the phone room. And we would serve them food. We were getting, food donations from restaurants and, you know, water donated and so on. All of those people did get thanked on the air, and all of them appreciated it. And some of them are likely to respond to a request to say, okay, we, as opposed to the in-kind donation of food, we actually need, some underwriting, and we will thank you on the air with that type of statement that we make. Support comes from, and name the business. So that's the package we're trying to put together, similar to what KPFT has been doing, and it would involve those brief underwriting announcements, which we will be vetting with John L. Mella to make sure that we're not crossing any lines. Inclusion in the dispatch and on the website, recognition of, who these businesses and community organizations are. And I should say about the dispatch is still going out to almost 19,000 people. So that's four times the number, almost three or four times the number of people who are actually members. And every dispatch we do try to get people who are getting the dispatch to become members. About 30% of every dispatch actually gets opened, not necessarily the same 30%. But the click-through rate is small. It's going up slightly. It's like maybe around 0.3%. But the only click-through is really clicking through to the donate button. And so, I think that's having a steady incremental slow increase. And the same thing with other social media promotion. We do have somebody now who has worked on our Twitter feed so that every hour a tweet is going out about the show that's on that hour with a graphic and in some cases content about the specific show that's on, who the guest is, and a link to listen live and a link to donate. And so I think that's going to have an impact. And then, as I say, if we can increase the amount of audiovisual material, either people live streaming their show while they're on, if it is being produced in the studio, some of the programmers, particularly the Spanish language programmers and some of the Saturday programmers, are doing that. And if we have more of that video, we could be putting it up on Instagram, on YouTube. I do think that all the stations should have more or less 24/7 YouTube of what's on the radio and find some way to have a little bit of graphic content with it. And I think that type of promotion will eventually, get us more listeners.
Couldn't agree more about YouTube, Michael. That's where the audience is. YouTube is the largest publisher in the world right now. And we've had a couple of examples where just by putting something on YouTube, it increased by tenfold the number of listeners we got for it. Because, rather than expect the audience to come to where we are, we should be going to where they are, no matter how primitive we are.
Just give you one example of that. During some of the stuff that went on here around George Floyd and the local scandals around policing, at that point, the city police commission was being carried out by Zoom, and a local TV station took their Zoom and put it up on YouTube live, and within like minutes had, I think, 14,000 people watching it.
Exactly.
So, I think if we did things of that nature ourselves, it would create a lot more, awareness of our existence, frankly.
Exactly. And we've seen some examples of that. I won't enumerate them here, but we've seen that. I agree with you 100% there. This is my last question, and I'll go and see if there's any more stack because we're about out of time for this. I'll have to ask to see if there's an extension. But let me just ask you quickly. Okay, I got you, McFadden. Let me just ask Michael one more question. Am I forgetting what my question was? About the I had a question about, it had to do with the PSAs. The newsletter. WBI has a newsletter that goes out to about 40,000 people, but currently we have no idea how much revenue that's actually generating to know if it's justifying the expense. It's very attractive. It looks good. We would hope that it's. Do you have a way? And I'm sure there are ways to do this where you can tag. Basically, the newsletter sends people to the website. To our regular donation path.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a way to tell whether a particular donation comes from your newsletter, or does it just blend in with the rest?
It just blends in with the rest, as far as I know. I think there might be some way to use something different. I have to explore it. We're using MailChimp, and they do have a thing about revenue generation from the emails, but I think you have to set up something with them where it wouldn't go to your regular, the donate button on KPFK. I think I have to explore that because...
It's nice. It would be good to know what different attempts at attracting attention are bearing fruit, so we could, focus a little more clearly.
They say the one thing we do show is the click-through rate, and the click-through is the only thing we click through on there, generally speaking, is through the donate button.
Right.
And most of the issues. And so there's a small
percentage. And that keeps it simple, and that's good. But I'm pretty sure there's a technical way to flag them so you know where they're coming from. We should explore that. We're at time, and so McFadden, if you're going to go ahead, I want to ask you to ask for an extension of time. And let me just get a feel for if there are other people that have, want to be on the stack again. Is there anybody else who wants to be on the stack again but McFadden?
Our poll for like 1 minute.
Okay. Anybody else? Okay. Not hearing anybody. McFadden, could you... ask to extend for 5 minutes?
Extend to her 5 minutes.
Thank you. Any objection? Hearing none, we're extended for five. Thank you. Go ahead, McFadden.
So this is just kind of do you have, is there, for your shows, at the end of every show, is there like a 30-second or 1 minute pitch? Not outside of fundraising period. So the late night show. That if you want, keep hearing this show, you please make a small donation. Make a donation or something like that. It ought to be happening at least every hour, half hour.
The fund drive or not, we do have a lot of sort of pitch promos that air throughout the day, and also on the website. If people are looking at the website, there's like a tip cup that people can make a donation as they're listening to something on the internet. They could donate before that show.
Throughout the day, it doesn't sound like every show that ends with one. Is that?
Yeah, it's not necessarily linked to the show, but day in and day out, whether on a fund drive or not, there's almost every hour there's some request for people to donate.
Yeah, it just seems like
fund drives, we're asking, we have sort of a pitch clock for the fund drives in which the programmers are supposed to, during the course of an hour show, let people know at the beginning of the show that we are in fund drive. At 20 minutes, do about 2 minutes. At 40 minutes, do about 2 minutes. And at 52, do about the last 6 minutes with a stronger appeal for fun. So trying to get everybody to actually do that is still a chore. And we keep reminding and asking people to do that. The problem is that, we are getting a certain amount of our programming is coming from things that are syndicated that don't necessarily incorporate pitching for us in any way, shape, or form. Some of it does. Some of it doesn't. We have to do better at, clipping some of that off and just introducing our own pitching for that stuff. That's the other category besides the late night music that, you know, it's Laura Flanders or Sonali Kolhatkar at this point, and some others that don't, you know, don't produce income.
Mm-hmm. Are you done, McFadden?
I just wanted to say, I think every show ought to have, you know, if you want to keep hearing this show, and you could, in a sense, if people donated after shows like that, you could monitor, oh, we got donations at this time, you know, online donations. It would actually give you a sense of which shows are actually, you know, funding the station. So
that's kind of why they put the candy at the checkout line in the grocery store. It's an impulse buy. When you got people interested and excited about something, ask them for a donation. Got it. So, R. Paul, I want to, before you speak, I want to ask you or mention that we need to figure out what we want to do with this. We got this budget with no recommendation from the KPFK LSB. So we're going to need some words to figure out what we're going to do with this in terms of sending it on to the PNB. I don't know if that's what you wanted to speak on, but you're recognized.
All right.
Wait. This is Kim.
God.
We sent a recommendation with the budget.
Well, you said that you could not approve it, but you forwarded it to us to, you know, figure out what to do, right? I don't recall the exact words.
We sent it to deficit budget, and we can't approve it.
Correct.
I'm looking for it.
Point of information.
Hold on, let's finish this item first, Beth. I got you.
Yeah, R. Paul is going to say something.
I'm just waiting to get the floor back.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought, R. Paul, I thought you were looking for language. Let's take that then. Go ahead, Beth.
Yes, if there's a resolution from the KPFK LSB that's being referred to about this item, could we please see that language now? Could that please be circulated so we know what we're...
I'm trying to find it, Beth. If you have it somewhere, I'm trying to find it.
Kim, I believe it came with your original sending of the motion of the budget to Nat Finance.
Right, I know. Yeah. I'm trying to find it. Cause
it's 7 days ago.
What? Oh. Well, I don't. I'm looking. Okay, here it is. At the Sunday, October 15th LSB meeting, the LSB reviewed, blah, blah, blah. The motion, the LSB reviewed the KPFK FY24 budget along with addendum to the FY24 budget submitted by IGM Michael Novick. The budget is a reasonable estimate of revenue based on historical numbers and expenses. It is a deficit budget, and we cannot approve it. We forward it to the National Finance Committee for their review.
Yes, that's what I was referring to. Thank you, Kim. R. Paul.
Yeah.
I thought you were waiting to get the floor back.
Well, yes, I am. Oh, thank you. All right. This is more of an amendment to a footnote. You mentioned before that donation rate was $50 in 1960, and now that's down to 46 and change. Well, I think you're somewhat quoting something I had sent out, because I think it should go up to 50 again, but whatever. It's not from 1960, it's from like 2003, 2004 that it is, you know, the $25 is something like $16 or $15. I forget. I sent an email with that in there, but it's not 60. In 1960, $50 today would be well over $100. So
no,
that's just a little addendum to a footnote. That's all.
Okay. What I did was I Googled what is $25 in 1960 worth today? That's, and it came up $46, we think, so almost double.
You went, we went back.
Now I just did one site, you know, you might get different results, who knows. Just because, you know, I was wondering what the effect would be of changing the basic membership rate. You know, keeping a hardship rate and maybe increasing the basic membership rate. We were discussing
all right, let's
that,
go so. On to the motion here.
Yes, please. So let's get some language.
Point of information.
Oh, go ahead, Beth.
Thank you. As I requested before, Ed, I think that if this budget was forwarded to the National Finance Committee with that motion, the committee should have that language in writing. And I think it should become part of the minutes, whether that's what we vote on or not, that's what was forwarded to the committee. And so for future reference, when people are looking back, trying to figure out what happened, we need that language. I understand. I'm glad to hear what Kim says, but that's not like having it in anybody's record. So I would request, please, could that be emailed to everyone, including the secretary now, as kind of the starting point for the discussion of what this motion should be. Thank you.
Is okay. The member referring to
Hold on. Yeah, the echo is back. Can you get everybody mute, please? And I want to say that in answer to your question, Beth, your request for information, that information came with the budget that the treasurer, KPFK treasurer Kim, sent to us. She sent us that language from the LSB, and it's in the natfinancecom@groups.io list information that we have for this meeting. It was included. It's part of the email thread that was going on prior to the meeting about the, you know, the response to the agenda is included with.
You
so
want
if you
me
go
to read
there,
it?
You'll find it. Yeah, go ahead, Arpal. Thank you.
All right. This is from Kim from an email on October 17th. That's 1 week ago. And it says the LSB, KPMK LSB, made the following motion to go along with it. Quote, motion. The LSB reviewed the KPFK FY24 budget along with, quote, addendum to the FY24 budget, unquote, submitted by IGM Michael Novick. The budget is a reasonable estimate of revenue based on historical numbers and expenses. It is a deficit budget, and we cannot approve it. We forward it to the National Finance Committee, NFC, for their review, unquote.
Okay. So we have that language. It doesn't necessarily help us create our own motion referring this, if we will, to the PNB. So can we turn to that now?
And you would like a motion
to say the PNB recommends to the PNB, the NFC recommends to the PNB. I guess that's the way to start it. Go ahead, Kim.
I would just substitute the PNB recommends, the NFC recommends to the PNB and use the same language, and we forward it on to the PNB that we can't approve a deficit budget, and we forward it to the PNB. You guys figure it out. Hello. I mean, you know, I'm not to approve any deficit budget. I mean, we've reviewed it. We analyze it, and the PNB has to deal with, you know, kind of this stuff.
Let me read what it gets cobbled into. Motion. The NFC recommends to the PNB that it has reviewed the KPFK FY24 budget along with, quote, addendum to the FY24 budget, unquote, submitted by IGM Michael Novick. The budget is a, you know what, I'm going to expand that, Interim General Manager Michael Novick. The budget is a reasonable estimation of revenue based on historical numbers and expenses. It is a deficit budget, and we cannot approve it. We forward it to the PNB for their review. Now, in this, it is basically also saying that we're going to, I guess, send the addendum to the FY24 budget in there. Do we want to put that do we want to append the this might need a second motion purely for the NFC. Do we want to at some point move to do we want to have a motion to append the interim general manager's remarks here, addendum to the budget? Do we want to append that to these minutes? That's another question.
I would think so, but yeah, that is another question. So why don't we leave that as a separate question for now?
Okay. So who's making the motion? Okay, Kim makes the motion. So the motion is, the NFC recommends to the PNB that it has reviewed the KPFK FY24 budget along with, quote, addendum to the FY24 budget submitted by Interim General Manager Michael Novick. The budget is a reasonable estimate of revenue based on historical numbers and expenses. It is a deficit budget, and we cannot approve it. We forward it to the PNB for their review. I would debate a little something on that.
Go ahead.
Of course, the NFC can recommend a deficit budget. We've done it any number of times in the past. Maybe we just strike that part. Leave it as the budget is a reasonable estimate of revenue based on historical numbers and expenses. We forward it to the PNB for their review.
Yeah, that's all we do.
It is a deficit budget. Okay. It is a deficit budget, and we forward it to the PNB for their review. So I just cut out the part if we can't approve it. Want me to read the whole thing all together so we all understand what we're voting on?
Good.
The NFC recommends to the PNB that it has reviewed the KPFK FY24 budget along with, quote, addendum to the FY24 budget submitted by Interim General Manager Michael Novick. The budget is a reasonable estimate of revenue based on historical numbers and expenses. It is a deficit budget, and we forward it to the PNB for their review.
Okay. That's the motion. Now we're going to call for discussion. I'm going to recognize myself.
Excuse me. I have a question, a request for information.
Okay, well, I'm going to ask you to just hold your question, and while I'm speaking, you can ask your question when I'm done speaking. Go ahead.
I made a motion, and ARPAL pushed that motion. So I want to go back to the motion I made, and then we can take a vote on whether we want to, you know, accept ARPAL's amendment to my motion. So that's what I'm saying.
Okay, so that would have been a point of order, and I would have recognized you for that. So if that's your point, I appreciate that, and we'll go to that in a moment. I thought what we were doing is crafting a consensus motion, but apparently that's not the case. So I'm not going to – I think ARPAL already had the original motion. And ARPAL, did you have the words of Kim's original motion, or shall I ask her to send that?
We have it. We have it. It was sent on the 17th.
I thought you did. Okay. So –
Hold on, Beth.
That's the what you have there is the motion from the KPFK LSB. What I'm asking you is, did you have the motion that Kim fashioned for us out of that? It was slightly different.
Yes.
Okay.
He read that with, you know, the PNB recommend.
Yeah, Kim, I'm asking ARPAL if he has that. I know he read it. I'm waiting for him to see if he can find it.
Okay, I have. Let me post in something else here so we just have it in front of me. One second. Pardon me. Okay, so I've read it a couple of times, and what I did was I pulled out a piece of it when I thought we were all crafting it together. And I can put that back in there and put it back. Okay.
and I'm putting pieces of stuff in there. It's a we. Capitalize that, and here we go. All right. All right, so what we originally put together that is going to be under Kim's name is the NFC recommends to the PNB that it has reviewed the KPFK FY24 budget along with, quote, addendum to the FY24 budget submitted by Interim General Manager Michael Novick. The budget is a reasonable estimate of revenue based on historical numbers and expenses. It is a deficit budget, and we cannot approve it. We forward it to the PNB for their review. How about, okay, instead of the NFC recommends, the NFC informs? Because we aren't recommending to them that we said this, because we said it. Instead of the NFC recommends to the PNB, the NFC want to make it informs? Anybody object to that? Or not. Okay, the NFC informs the PNB that it has reviewed the KPFK FY24 budget along with the addendum and all of that. It's a reasonable estimate of revenue based on historical numbers and expenses. It is a deficit budget, and we cannot approve it. We forward it to the PNB for their review, and I guess that would be the main motion, right? Hello?
Yes.
Oh.
Oh, crap. Sorry, I was muted. I was talking and muted. Yes.
Okay.
I have a question, and I guess the question is for Kim and Beth, who were on that LSB. And I think the statement that we cannot approve a deficit budget is obviously false. We have eight budgeted units in this foundation. Any one of those units can have a deficit budget that gets approved. There's no magic law against that. As long as the whole organization doesn't have a deficit consolidated budget. But did the LSB say we do not approve it or we cannot approve it? Did they when they said we cannot approve it, did they mean we do not approve it?
Well,
you have to go back to the debate.
Pardon me? What, Michael?
I said you have to go back to the debate. There was a lot of back and forth about what to say, and that's what they ended up with.
Yeah, I don't know that there was a lot of debate on the LSB, but the point is, you know, I have said this before. I don't know where it's sitting, but, you know, my experience has been that, you know, we cannot approve deficit budgets. So, you know, and back in the day when that was operative, a lot of machinations would go on to make it appear not a deficit budget, which we're not doing anymore. So now we actually have deficit budgets. So, you know, it's six of one or half a dozen of the other sort of type of cheese. But I personally do not, you know, somebody's got to deal with these problems and not just say, yeah, we approved this deficit budget. We know it's a deficit, la-di-da, open it on. No, we're not going to approve a deficit budget, but somebody's got to deal with it, and it's not the MFC. It's certainly not the LSB. So, you know, the PNB is looking at very serious financial situations around the network with more information than some of us have here, like the treasurers.
Okay.
Let me know when it's my turn.
Hold on, everybody. I'm going to take a sec. So I wanted to answer that myself, and I heard Beth, and I heard Arpaw. So
can I get on your stack? I realize I'm not a member of your committee, but
sure, go ahead. Yeah, this is open discussion, Michael.
We might want to extend the time, Mr. Chair.
Yeah, good point. And
I move to extend by 15 minutes.
All right, in our poll, that's got to be the meeting and the item, and that means we're not going to get to other items. So 15 minutes from now will put us at 10:37. Okay. Is there any objection? Hearing none, that's approved. So I want to say that I think I understand what Kim is saying. I understand her sentiment, but again, I point out that lots of organizations that have multiple divisions or units can have deficit budgets for individual units. There's no magic law that says you can't have a deficit budget. So, and, you know, I do appreciate her point that we used to magically inflate expected revenue, so we didn't have deficit budgets, when in fact everybody knew that that was, you know, not realistic. And we don't want to do that. We need to not do that. But on the other hand, I think the exercise we're going through here is to get something on paper, as has been promoted by the executive director. We want something on paper that we can use as a blueprint moving forward so that we can evaluate the performance of the units on an ongoing basis, on a regular basis, at least quarterly, as is in the bylaws, and then make adjustments as we go along when we're falling out of line with our budgets. So that is my comments on that. So let's go now to Beth.
Thank you. So we say, I'm going to reiterate my previous request to have this language again in writing, despite the fact that I also acknowledge that somewhere in my email stack from a week ago, I could dig through and find it if I weren't in the middle of a meeting. But if we're going to be voting on this language, I would like to have it circulated once again currently now. I've heard it 3, 4, 5 times now. I understand it. But for the record, I would like to have it in writing so everyone can see it in writing, so we know what we're talking about. Beyond that, what I remember of the wording acknowledges up front that these are realistic numbers and that it's a deficit budget. And I think that's our reality check. I recognize the risk of passing deficit budgets. At the same time, I consider the risk of passing no budget and flying blind without a budget to be much more highly irresponsible. So I think we have a responsibility to pass some kind of realistically articulated set of numbers here, even if it reflects the reality that for the time being, that's still a deficit budget. For that reason, I prefer our Paul's wording. And if that's an amendment or a substitute motion or whatever, I would vote for that. I would support that. Thank you.
Okay. Based on what Beth just said, Kim, I'm going to ask you if you could, as the maker of the motion, could you forward your language to our Paul? And then as
if you
Beth
want, I can
out,
forward her email again to the group again. From the 17th.
Sure. Okay.
All right. Could I do that after I have the floor in another minute?
Yes, you can. I just want to say, in addition to that, that as also was pointed out by Beth, that if, you know, we can, we'll first get Kim's motion solidified, and then if someone wants to make an amendment, we can do that. And now let's see. Just hold on one moment. Yes, Arpal, you're next on the stack. Go ahead.
Okay. All right. Let me say, we have indeed passed deficit budgets in the past. Yes, sometimes people have gussied them up. Oh, I have stories about that. I voted against a bunch of those. I am more likely to vote against a kind of phonied up budget to make believe it's balanced than I am to vote against an honest deficit budget, I'll say. However, I have an amendment. The amendment is in the main motion to strike, quote, "It is a deficit budget and we cannot approve it. We forward it to the PNB for their review," unquote, and replace it with, quote, It is a deficit budget, and we forward it to the PNB for their review. Basically, what it does is it cuts out the words, we cannot approve it, and, you know, fixes the language a little bit so it's grammatical English. And that's it. So that's my amendment there, and it would then read the way I had been reading it before. If people want more clarification, we could do that. And I have forwarded the October 17th email back to the mailing list. So there's that too. All right, thank you.
All right, so we have a motion, we have an amendment, but Michael wanted to make one more comment, then we'll open up our Paul's amendment for discussion. Go ahead, Michael.
I'm here obviously as the interim general manager, but I was previously a treasurer. I was previously on the NFC. I obviously have a long history in governance. It seems to me that what you might want to do is mandate that if in periodic reviews of the actuals, additional revenue put forward in the addendum does not materialize, that cuts in local expenses should be made so that the station can fulfill its central services obligations.
Michael, I see where you're going with that. I'm just going to interject here. I don't think we need to do that. That's more or less a general policy statement. That's the intention. That's the intention of the executive director. That's the intention of the board going forward. So I don't think we need to make that specifically into this motion. That's the whole idea. We have budgets. Yeah. The NFC is supposed to monitor the progress on the budgets and then make adjustments as necessary. But thank you.
Okay.
You hit the nail on the head in terms of the idea behind it all. That's good. Thank you. Okay, so is there any – I think we were done discussing Kim's initial motion, and we had a motion, an amendment from our Paul. So let's open to discussion for our Paul's amendment. Is there any discussion on that?
Kim to the stack.
Okay, let me see if anybody else wants to join in. Let's start with you, Kim. Go ahead.
Okay, well, I dropped off for a moment, so I'm assuming that the only thing I missed was our poll taking out, we cannot approve it. Now, my recollection is that I believe somebody or some people said you're sending it without any kind of recommendation, you know, and it's just kind of you need to make a statement. So it was like, okay, we cannot approve it, because otherwise we're just not saying anything. So that's why that statement went in there, to, you know, give people a heads up about what they're looking at. So I object to taking it out, but, you know, that's the reasoning why.
Is there anyone else? I'll put myself on the stack for a moment. I understand where Kim is coming from with that, but the role of the NFC is to accept what gets sent to us, put our own imprimatur on it, and then pass it along. So we have the ability to pass it along with what recommendation or not that we want. And so we thus have our Paul's amendment, and, you know, we'll see where it goes. I personally am in favor of our Paul's amendment. In fact, I think it's a bit of cowardice all along the line when people say, you know, we can't recommend this, although here it is, we'll put it in your lap, and then the next level puts it in the next level's lap, and so on. I agree with Kim that it is ultimately the PNB that has to decide on these things. However, again, the goal is, as Michael just articulated, is to get something on paper that we can use as a guide, and make adjustments as we go along. The key part is make the adjustments as we go along. You know, we've had a lot of trouble getting the budgets to begin with. We're now actually doing this sooner than we did before. So hopefully we can graduate to the next step of evaluating them as we move through the fiscal year. Any other discussion on our Paul's amendment?
Beth.
I'm sorry, who was that?
Beth.
Kim and Beth. Kim and Beth.
Okay.
Beth and Kim. Okay. Thank you.
I heard them simultaneously, so
By all means, let Beth go first, because she hasn't spoken on this yet.
Are you good with that, Beth?
I was first, so yeah, I'm good with it.
Okay. I heard you simultaneously. Go ahead, Beth.
Thank you. I just want to reiterate that I support our Paul's amendment for all the reasons that have been articulated. I think it would be irresponsible of us not to pass a budget. And if the numbers, if the realistic numbers are a deficit, then that's what's real. And it's our obligation to recognize what's real and work with it. So thank you.
Thank you. Go ahead, Kim.
Well, there's no question that we're not going to pass this along. That's not the issue. We're passing it along. We're just trying to figure out. Now, if we don't want to be cowards, we can go into closed session and, you know, discuss how to make this a balanced budget. We can do that. But there's no call to do that if we want to send it like, well, this is a deficit budget. If you want to make it a neutral budget, then here are our recommendations for how to do that. And these are further cuts that we suggest. And we could do that. But I still think that my language. Sticking with my language, but whatever.
Okay, understood, Kim. I might respond to that, but I'm not. I'm going to forbear. Any other comments? Okay, our Paul, let's go to a vote on your amendment.
Okay, let me grab my amendment and shove it in there. Okay. Alrighty. The amendment is it is a deficit budget and we cannot approve it. We forward it to the PNB for their review, unquote, and replace it with, quote, it is a deficit budget, and we forward it to the PNB for their review. Please answer up when you hear your name. Teresa Allen. Sharon Adams. Kamau Harris.
Yes.
Julie Hewitt. Tim Kaufman.
Abstained.
R. Paul Martin, yes. James McFadden.
Yes.
Sean Kelly McPherson. Jim Sagerton.
Yes.
Elizabeth Von Gunten.
Yes.
Okay. And I will note that Teresa Allen, Sharon Adams, and Julie Hewitt did not answer. If any of them are here, please answer now. No. All right. It passes 5-4-0 against one abstention.
Okay. Now that becomes the main motion. Shall we do that again, R. Paul, please?
Okay. Okay. Let me, let me see where I stop and start. The main motion becomes, the NFC informs the PNB that it has reviewed the KPFK FY24 budget along with, quote, addendum to the FY24 budget, unquote, submitted by Interim General Manager Michael Novick. The budget is a reasonable estimate of revenue based on historical numbers and expenses. It is a deficit budget, and we forward it to the PNB for their review.
Okay, I'm going to ask for discussion, and then I will also ask if there's any objection. Is there any discussion?
Beth.
I heard Beth. Anyone else? I'm going to put myself on the stack. Go ahead, Beth.
I just wanted to speak very concisely in support of the motion as amended. We need to go ahead and move this budget on up the line. Therefore, all the reasons that have already been articulated. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Beth. Okay, now I'm going to put myself on the stack momentarily. I just wanted to ask Stephanie. Stephanie, I know you're hiding back there, and I'm going to put you on the spot. I want to know if basically what was said here comports with your understanding of what we're trying to do here with, as we all know, is an unfortunate situation where we have multiple units that are in deficit.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. I mean, that's why a perfect example is even when people were comparing the simplified budget that was sent in to the budget that KPFK had, is that once, we looked at that simplified budget with Michael and with Kim, we were able to make those adjustments. And so that's what we want to do, is have the local finance committees take a close look at the budgets on a monthly basis to be able to project out the revenue and the expenses, make adjustments as necessary. And then in the national finance committee, those representatives from each of the local finance committees can come in, and make those recommendations. And then we can adjust the budget as we move forward. So we're not caught off guard by anything.
Good. Thank you for that, Stephanie. I appreciate that. Anyone else for the stack? Our poll, will you take the vote? Or is there any, let me ask if there's any objection. Hearing none, we can consider that done.
Mr. Chair?
We are now, yes, our poll.
Well, one, we should, in my opinion, we should make a motion to extend for a very short while and then vote to add the addendum to the FY24 budget to the meeting minutes, and also probably send that to the PNB as well.
Good point. I agree. And I was going to point out we are now past our time certain and past our extension time. So let us ask for an extension of, shall we say, 5 minutes?
Wait. This is Kim. So, Sack, it's in the language, isn't it? It was in the original language. The budget and the addendum was in the original language. I didn't hear that getting taken out of.
No, it wasn't taken out.
So
it says we reviewed it. All right. If people understand, if it's everybody's understanding that the addendum is getting sent along with the budget to the PNB, that's fine. However, we do, if we're going to put it in the minutes, it should be in, we should vote to do that. Unless everybody figures it should be in there anyway.
I'm confused. I'm confused
at
why we would need to vote to put it in the minutes.
Okay, I'll put it in the minutes. Just put it in. Okay.
Yeah. Good. Okay.
I have another. May I be recognized?
Well, we still need to vote on an extension, I think, because we're out of time here. So is there any objection to extending for 5 minutes? Hearing none, we're extended. Go ahead, Tim.
Well, I think that what I sent to the MFC should be, it should have gone on the agenda, quite frankly, that we're going to review the budget and the addendum, and here's the motion from the LSB. That should have gone on the agenda and should be in the minutes. But it didn't get into the agenda. I could go on the, I don't know how you, when I send the motion, the LSB made, I mean, I just, that is the intention, is so that goes on the agenda. It's when I, you know, from the finance committee, I send the motion the finance committee makes, and I expect that to go on the LSB agenda to inform the members what the finance committee passed. So that's what should have been on the agenda tonight, and then it would have been in the minutes by, you know, de facto or whatever. So do whatever you want, but it is a good record to have somewhere.
I don't understand that.
I'm a little confused myself, but let me try to recap that. Basically, what the way I understand it is the treasurer or the general manager, whoever it may be, anyone else, I guess, who's designated, can send the budget to the NFC. It's understood the NFC then reviews it and passes it on to the PNB. I'm not clear. You know, the motion from the LSB should be in the LSB minutes.
It is.
I mean, it could be in the NFC minutes, but I don't see it as critical. The critical thing is, we are reviewing the budget, and we don't want to clutter up the agenda with too much additional information, which our Paul has taken a long time to school me on.
So, okay, if I can respond. The point of the Finance Committee motion to the LSB and the LSB motion to the NFC is so you know how the NFC, how the LSB voted. And so the PNB knows how the NFC voted, and so on. And the LSB is informed by how the Finance Committee voted. That's my view of this. I mean, I guess nobody at this point cares about, I mean, the PNB doesn't care what the LSB did, but the NFC should have been informed by the motion from the Finance Committee that they did not approve it. You know, I mean, the bylaw says we approve or disapprove, and we cannot approve it. We weren't going to not approve it because it was an accurate representation. So anyways, who cares? I don't care, but that's just an explanation.
Well, we did go over those language options, and I think our Paul has the original motion and his amendment to the motion, so that language is going to be in the minutes. So
wait a minute.
Is that not sufficient? Go ahead.
Hold on. The minutes show what we do, not what we read or what might inform us in some other way. We have a motion. A motion was made. It was amended. The amended motion was passed, and that's our business. That's what we did. We've said we're going to pass along the addendum and put that in the minutes as well, and that's it. There is no reason for the NFC to pass along whatever the KPFK LSB said.
No, we
don't do that.
I'm suggesting that. Hold on, Tim.
I have a question for our Paul. Our Paul, do we not in our NFC minutes, we're gonna report what the motion was and what the amendment was, and then the amendment was approved. Are we just going to report in the minutes what was finally approved? The main motion as amended, are we going to show the original motion and then the amendment?
As always, we show what we do. The first thing was a motion was made by Kim. Then I made an amendment. The amendment passed. The main motion was then modified by that amendment. All of that will show up in the minutes.
That's what I thought. Yeah.
And plus, we'll throw the addendum in there, too.
Yeah, that's what I thought. So, Kim, it will be in the minutes. Right?
Whatever.
Okay.
Whatever. The issue is, should we make a special motion for the addendum? It's done. Well,
everybody
we're
agreed
done.
We don't have to.
Yeah, right. We agreed to them.
Finally.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. We're done.
Okay.
I hope so.
Okay, so we are now at 10:47. We are past our... No, we're not. So we still
yes,
have
we
some
are.
Time.
At 10:41, we extended by 5 minutes. We are now a minute past our extension time.
Okay, got it. So we'll have to take up the other items at our next meeting. And this meeting is now adjourned. Thank you all. Thank you, Kim, for helping to write this budget. Thank you, Stephanie, for being here. Thank you, Fred Blair, for streaming us. Thank you, R. Paul, for being our secretary and doing all the work involved. Thanks, everyone, and good night. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you, James.
Good night.
Good night. Thanks, everyone.
Good night, all.